This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, hour number 5 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Let me ask you something. What would make 72% of respondents to a local poll believe the Cowboys are going to get the Super Bowl done over the next 5 years? I mean, I can't see it. I think there's some good players here. I think there's some champion-level decisions being made. But after so many years of failing to accomplish that, what are you guys looking at? That was the answer that was most popular in a recent poll. John Machota in The Athletic put it together. 72% of respondents saying, I believe the Cowboys are going to win a Super Bowl over the next 1 to 5 seasons. Is this just blind homerism? That's what I'm going to go with. I think it's all about believing in your team. It's no fun to believe they can't do it, so I'm going to believe it. And if I'm delusional, so be it. That's part of being a sports fan. My top theory. What are you guys going with?
Going with the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I think the change could be enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the change is going to give me hope. And the change is, you know, the fact that they sat there in general, you asked them to have some back-to-back drafts and get started on the drafts. And everybody's talking about this one as being an A+, whatever. You know, they draft CeeDee Lamb, and, you know, hell, there's no way we thought they'd do that. They're still in the business of going out and getting the best football players. That's got to give you hope. But their biggest hope is the fact that Jason Garrett is not here anymore. And yeah, we'll see. If it's the players, the coaches, or the front office, we're going to see that here in the next couple of years. And that's why in that 0 to 5 range, I had to vote myself that direction.
You know what? You're exactly right, because that's what the deal is. There's a different flavor of Kool-Aid. It might have been grape last year, but it's cherry now. Jason Garrett, if they had the same roster, nobody would be that excited about it. They'd think, well, he's probably going to screw it up some kind of way. You could have had CeeDee Lamb. You could have had all these different things happen, but they knew he's an 8-8 coach, and they just didn't trust it. You've got a new guy who's got a Super Bowl resume. We're talking about Mike McCarthy. And then you add to it the CeeDee Lamb, the other parts, you know, the free agency moves and things like that. That's good. But the fact that they've got that coaching staff, that makes fans feel like there's some real hope.
You hope he learned. You hope he learned from his time off, because at the end it wasn't great at Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah. That's the big opportunity right there. Could who he was, which was success, plus the disappointment, have created the perfect coach for you and a guy who's now learned all of his shortcomings?
If he and Albert Burr talked about Andy Reid, we would take that every day.
Yeah.
If we knew
day.
that Mike McCarthy was going to turn into Andy Reid, we would take that.
Andy Reid's been a really, really good coach, and you go and do it in 2 spots with the consistency that he has.
Yeah.
He belongs in the conversation with some of the best coaches.
Absolutely.
Maybe in 3 years, Mike McCarthy's going to be there as well. As, hey, look, I can do this too.
Yeah.
Going to 2 different spots and being able to have success. I look at it as just the mathematical difficulties, not only of the last 25 years, but there's 16 teams in the NFC, so you have 5 shots at it. You know, so for an organization that's been unable to do it, coming off a great run of drafting, now they're coming off a poor run of drafting. I think if I'm going to pick the Cowboys to do it, I need in the next 10 years, because if it doesn't come together over the next couple of years, there is going to be a little bit of a rebuild with this offensive line getting old, with some key defensive players getting old. I don't know that 2023, 24, and 25 would be your years, but maybe in the second half of the decade, if it doesn't come together immediately, they could get back after it. I don't know. I was kind of disappointed, because I kind of, you know, feel like maybe the fan base could be a little bit tougher on this organization. You know, maybe if there wasn't so much blind loyalty, you could prompt them into, you know, being a little bit more urgent about making winning decisions.
I think the fan base would have got into that 18, 16, 15 range if the head coach was still here.
Yeah, if nothing had changed.
You would have seen, General, everything that you just brought up.
Yeah.
Everything you just brought up, and the fans are going, wait a minute, you kept Garrett? Really? Yeah. You know, people were just ready for change. They're ready. They're ready that we need to see something different from this front office. We need to see something different from this coaching staff. We need to see something different from these players. And I think that that's the thing that if as a fan you hang your hat on, okay, we got one of these things fixed.
Mm-hmm.
The head coach is no longer here, who we felt like was the big issue.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it doesn't, if, like you say, if it's 2-3 years and things are 8-8, 9-7, not really kind of scuffling around, then it's about, okay, you need to look at some other things here. And it might very well be that roster.
And Gavin, other thing on that, because what did you say? It was 73%?
72%.
It might not have been that high had they not aced the draft. Not just C.D. Lamb, but across the board, everyone across the country said they had a hell of a draft. So that's more of that Kool-Aid. That's more of the excitement for the base to have something to look forward to.
Yeah. The Kool-Aid is so impressive in how it can sell people.
Yeah.
At some point, the long-term disappointment has to rule it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Cleveland Browns fans, I don't know, are you still convinced that this thing's coming together? You know, they were last year, but after getting that built up to it, last year was just a reminder of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys are significantly better at making good decisions and winning football games than the Browns. But enough to make you that championship confident? I'd love to hear from you if you want to call in at 877-881-1053. If you did vote on that poll and The Athletic, will take some of your Cowboys phone calls and continue to go over some of the other poll questions that were presented in here.
You do have a text from the Honorflex Easton fan text, 877-881-1053 from the 469. General, blind loyalty is what being a fan is all about. Fan is short for fanatic. So be fanatical about your team during the good and the bad times. He's had that Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and I get that. You know, I also strongly know, though, and have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the majority of times, teams won't listen to a fan base. They don't care.
You're right about that.
When they sense apathy, though, they know they have to change. You know, Jerry Jones would not have let Jason Garrett go, but he knew the fan base had reached an absolute breaking point.
Yep.
We can't regenerate our confidence, right? So, boom, switch out the coach. Jerry's a little bit disappointed he doesn't get his preferred coach. But, hey, we'll start rebuilding here with Mike McCarthy. There is a point at which they'll listen. And there's a big part of me that wishes Cowboys fans were a little bit more united in putting their feet to the fire on some of these decisions. That's it.
We got another one real quick from another 4, you know, this is the 432. It says, I'm tired of Jerry's Kool-Aid. I need them to prove it. Show it to us.
Yeah. And changing coaches buys them, you know, an opportunity to look. I would just be short on patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we get the new coach going and things aren't better, similar problems with the, you know, things start picking back up, then at some point as a fan base or as a media, we have to say, here's the biggest problem. You lack a visionary at the top of your organization's leadership. You want to be the GM, but you're not willing to put in all of the work that would allow you to have an edge over your peers as GM. So, you know, when the fan base is ready to say, I'm actually not that interested as long as it says GM and I can read stories about you making decisions.
Yeah.
Until the fan base is willing to get there like they were willing to get to with the Jason Garrett thing, that won't change.
So then
it becomes, can you win in spite of that?
So, General, you're saying the next thing that the fans are going to point at, and I think fans have already pointed their finger at Jerry Jones. Is that what you're saying? That the next thing?
No. I want to know what it's going to take to get there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's where they should go.
I think there's a lot. Now, maybe there's not a huge number. Maybe I'm wrong about this. that there's people that do blame Jerry, but I don't hear that enough.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I don't always hear that. You know, no. And maybe, you know, maybe those voices become a little bit louder if in fact you go another year without having any success.
Mm-hmm.
I think those voices were very loud in the past.
And you know what,
I think they realized it ain't changing.
Yeah. No, that's,
so I could,
yeah,
I
that's
can
the
either,
fact.
That's the problem. They're focusing on something else.
And
yeah, that's something that could change.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And they know, because they study this team so hard, because they're like, what's wrong with this team? They also know that Stephen Jones is quietly doing a lot of stuff. And they know that Will McClay is heavily involved. So they know that Jerry's got the last word, but they also know, okay, it's not just there, Jerry. There's some Steven in there. Maybe Steven is stepping up more, and maybe it's evolving. I'm just saying, they know it's not just Jerry.
See, I don't think he's doing it quietly. I think there's some locked in right now on Dak Prescott, and I think a lot of that's coming from Steven Jones.
Uh-huh.
Some of the decisions they made, whether it's the running back, signing the defensive end.
Yep.
I think a lot of that has to do with Steven Jones.
And a lot of the fans know that.
Okay, speaking of those fans in Tolo, salute and thanks for ringing in here on your home of the Cowboys at 877-881-1053. Lucius, where should we go first?
Let's go all the way to Dallas and talk to Billy. What's up, Billy?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, Billy.
Good evening, Billy.
Okay, I have two things I want to mention. For one, Chris, you mentioned that they did ace the draft, and that's where most of the optimism is coming from us Cowboys fans, that we did see that they usually in the past they probably would have drafted for need, but this year they drafted best player available. So that was number one. And number two is this new coaching staff is like a new car scent. We were tired of the old Jason Garrett era, the old Jason Garrett way, where we knew that first down is going to be a run up the middle.
Yeah.
First down, you're going to get 2 yards.
Yeah.
Now that we're ready to see something new, and I think that we're excited for change, and there's nothing wrong with being excited for change.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. You know, if you sit there and you put them 1, 2, 3 in bullet points, they aced the draft, they got a new coaching staff, and they did invest on the defensive line. Poe McCoy, you add Aldon Smith. I could do that, but I feel like those are the kinds of things that maybe we get excited about regularly. Other than even the coaching changes, how many times over the last 5 years did they totally rebuild the coaching staff?
That's true.
You know, so significantly different when you change the head coach, yes, but of the same flavor.
Yeah, but they got rid of coaches. We got excited when Scott Linehan was gone, and we got excited when Kellen Moore came in, and we're excited about John Kitna. We're excited. I mean, I think the fact that they changed the top position gives you the most hope, because you're thinking, okay, now they could go in a different direction, or potentially could go in a different direction.
Here's one for you, General. 817 Total says, Jerry owns the team. It sucks, but it's his choice. The hope is Steven. Bitching to Jerry is like my woman complaining to me. I hear you, but I'm not changing because it's my property.
That's fair.
All right, we're talking about John Mashoda's poll that he put out here on The Athletic. Thousands of Cowboys fans responding, 72% saying, I believe this team's going to win that Super Bowl over the next 5 years. And we're talking about the things that have generated such optimism and confidence. I can't remember another offseason after a disappointing season, but a lot of good's happening. You know, I think the firing of Jason Garrett, We're seeing for sure in this poll results just how frustrated people were with that guy still being head coach. Where are we going next, Lucius?
Let's go to Plano and holler at Anthony. What's up, bro?
Hey, y'all. What's going on?
What's up, Anthony?
What's up, man?
All right. Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, and please, I've been thinking about this for a while, and if I step on somebody's toes, so be it. Do you guys think that Mike McCarthy will be allowed to coach the team the way he wants to coach it, or will Jerry continue to call the shots behind the scenes?
It's a good question, Anthony. I don't know how it would be interfered with. Is it who's on the roster, right?
Yeah.
It's
right.
Here's Rolando McClain, right? Or here's Greg Hardy when the head coach doesn't want him, that kind of stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. because we've had players that, of course, have had problems. You know, it ain't no secret. Mm-hmm. But I think the hang-up of the Cowboys over the years has been it's Jerry's team, as I guess as somebody had stated that earlier, but the head coach hasn't been able to coach the team the way he wants to coach it. It's always Jerry's, whatever Jerry wants, Jerry gets. And Jerry made the statement, as Jerry Krause did with the Bulls, I'm the reason why the team is the way it is. And will that be the continuation on the team, or will Mike McCarthy be allowed to do what he does best, and that's coach?
Thanks Good for call. The call, Anthony. Yeah, thanks, Let's get Brian and Chris's thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that, Anthony, that you're going to – Jerry Jones is at a point where 10-year run with Jason Garrett, that was his guy. You know, and he saw that, you know, Jason, he was like, hey, there's things I'm going to have to learn on the job with and all that. And well, for 10 years, you learned on the job, and the results went there. I think Jerry Jones does take a step back and say, okay, listen, we brought Mike McCarthy in. You know, let's see what Mike McCarthy can do. You know, I think Jerry Jones is – I think that, Anthony, you think that he meddles in everything. My experience of working for him for 6 years and some really bad times, too. We had some really, really bad times as far as the way the team was, and you probably remember those. But, you know, even then he let Dave Campo and Bill Parcells and those guys do what they needed to do. I just think that he – but in this case, I would believe that he is going to allow – after 10 years with Jason Garrett, I believe he's going to do whatever he has to do to allow Mike McCarthy to get this team back into back to the winning ways.
Yeah, briefly, I'm going to co-sign on that. I think he's going to respect McCarthy's pedigree, his Super Bowl pedigree, just like he respected Parcells' Super Bowl pedigree and Jimmy Johnson's championship pedigree. I think he's going to allow that to happen. He wanted Garrett to be his Landry. He gave him way too much rope, slack, or whatever, too much time and a chance, but I don't think it's going to be the same way with McCarthy. I think Jerry wants to win while he can enjoy it.
Yeah, I think you guys are right, at least initially.
Yeah, initially.
Maybe if it's frustrating, then there'll be more of a compromise moving forward. But I do think it's important that all of the players in there are guys that the coach signs off on.
Right.
You know,
see, that's where this team needs to be different, is that Jerry does need to allow Mike to control the roster in a way of, if he has to get rid of some guys to make a point, that every coach should have that opportunity. If there are guys there that you don't feel like, whether the organization is always, oh, that's always been our guy, that's our guy. Say he goes in there and gets rid of Cheeto. Okay. That's a guy the organization drafted and, you know, tried to develop and all that. What if Mike comes in and says Cheeto can't play? And we're going to move on. And you get rid of Cheeto, that's now you're starting to see the head coach have some influence. A little power there. Yeah. And every new coach needs that opportunity. You need to prove to the locker room that, like, I ain't messing with you cats anymore. You know, we're not going to do things status quo here anymore. If I have to get rid of two or three of you to send a message to the rest of the team, I'm going to do it. And if you see that happen, then you know he's got this team under control.
Real quick, Gavin, the 904 wants to know, and Lucius, maybe you can answer this, was Anthony from Plano secretly Scottie Pippen? Sound just like him.
Great voice, by the way. God dang it, great voice.
Call back, Anthony.
Yeah, sound like you could be in a comic book movie.
Yeah, that was
a lot of character in that.
Man, that was great.
You want to do another one here, Lucius, before
we
go?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You want to do that? Let's go to Austin in Arlington. What up, Austin?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I was listening to all your guys' points, and I really like them, and I agree with you guys about the draft, and I agree that the free agent signings have a good ceiling. But I just wanted to ask you, we've been talking about Jason Garrett's role in all of this, but when are we going to look at Dak Prescott? I mean, he's been here for 4 years, and I'm not a Dak hater, by the way. I just wanted to get your guys' take. Like, when are we going to look at Dak Prescott? I mean, after next year, 5 years is a good amount of time, and when are we going to actually decide if he can be the guy to take us to the promised land?
You know, Austin, that's a really good point. I think after a long, silent offseason of Dak discussion, we might have to break into that tomorrow. What do you guys say?
I'm
finally
all about
dust
that.
Off the old Dak Prescott
why
topics.
Not? Why not? Why not?
Really dig in?
Yeah, just go full 5 hours of it, please.
I mean, I think by now the audience has probably built up a strong hunger for it.
It's like a vaccine.
You never talk about him.
Shoot it in my arm.
Why are you avoiding him?
man.
No, Austin, I love you, man. And I we fight this every single day, you know. And yeah, I think that, you know, even the Cowboys are having questions. The guy that we were all talking about, that we're pointing the finger at, Jerry Jones, Monday mornings. Is this really our guy? You know, you don't need Gavin and Chris and I and Jeff Kavanaugh to come on here and tell you that. That he has questions, you know. So we'll see. We'll see if this thing's long term. It sounds like the quarterback wants to play this short term. And, you know, that might be the best case for everybody involved. We'll see.
Mike McCarthy audio, he addressed reporters today. We'll get you the highlights of that and more. The C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening, coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Every night here at this time, it is time for the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening. This segment is brought to you by My Computer Career. And it's brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally. Take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. It all starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. Rubin and Associates there at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mike McCarthy had a virtual press conference talking with reporters today. We have five audio highlights for you. Mike, what has been your focus lately been on with trying to get the team up to speed virtually? Here he is.
You know, we had an offensive team meeting this morning, and trying to, you know, get more across the positionals, talking to each other, and the players are doing a good job of applying some of the new techniques and new things that we've talked about and applying it into their workouts. So and communicate back to us. So. We're really, you know, keeping it about football. We spent some time on the personal component of, you know, introducing each other and a limited amount on the philosophical approach. I had plenty of time to sit here and think about it, and I think those things will probably be better served to be done in full force and in person when we do have the opportunity to get together. But we've kind of outlined and highlighted, you know, what we're about. But our focus has really been primarily, most of our energy has been spent on, you know, the football communication and language.
All right. Sounds great. No bone to pick there. Has he even been to the Star? Have you found a home in the DFW area yet? Here's Mike McCarthy.
No, I don't think this is like, I don't think any of us envision what's going on in our society. And I think it just puts things in perspective. You know, I have been with my family the whole time, you know, probably except for maybe the first 10 days of the pandemic. But I am anxiously in preparing, frankly, to get back to Frisco as soon as possible. So it's time, and I know for me to get back. We're still in the planning stages as far as what we're going to do as a family.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I guess he doesn't really need to be here until there's team workouts. It does seem weird that the coach wouldn't be here yet, but there's nothing detrimental about it.
No, it's funny that, you know, coaches, their families, they're so used to them not being there.
Yeah.
And how he's been off for a year. And then he gets a job, and everybody's like, yeah, dad's going to be gone. Yay. And then all of a sudden, no, it's the pandemic. Dad's back home. Oh, what happened? But it's funny. These families, they do. They get used. And I mean that in a nice way. I don't mean like, you know, that. But their dads are gone so much and so often. Yeah. But you just do. You become accustomed. And then all of a sudden, dad's around. And then the next thing you know at breakfast, you go, hey, dad, when are you going back? Going back? You know, that kind of thing. It's like, well, you ready for me to go back? Oh, yeah, I'm ready for you to go back.
Well, hey, I could play two rounds of golf a day if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I have no problem. Maybe a little golf and poker.
These families that are in coaching, they're so unique. The wife,
no,
the kids,
right.
They're special people.
I've even
people.
Heard that sometimes when, you know, the guy finally retires, it causes a disruption in the family.
It's huge. And, it's like, what are you doing here? You know, you're in the way of us going and doing things.
Right.
You know, dad's always like sitting there like, okay, what do you want me to do today? I'm just kind of hanging out. Well, dad, we're used to you not being here, and we've got plans. You know,
that's where the man cave comes into play. You know, you got to build you a bunker,
fishing
get
boat,
get a spot in the garage, fishing boat.
Find you a fishing boat. Yeah, there you go.
Elk's Lodge, something like that.
Yeah.
Boys Club, there's something. Okay, cut number five here then. Cut five, Mike McCarthy. How about the progress of the rookies now? How much work are these guys getting to be able to do?
Well, I like where they are. I mean, it's you know, we had a rookie orientation over the weekend there. It was 2 weeks after the draft. And then we were able to roll the rookies right into the veteran meetings and then continue with an afternoon meeting with the rookies. So really at the end of last week, we felt like we had the rookies, you know, kind of caught up to where the veterans are as far as, you know, what we're installing. But the afternoon meetings with just purely the rookies has been very beneficial. So, you know, once again, it's really the same thing I've been talking about. We've just really been exercising the importance, you know, from a football perspective on scheme, communication, you know, and make sure they have a clear, you know, clear vision of their job responsibility. But we've also have spent, you know, a lot of time with our rookies as far as with player engagement. And, you know, we've had some speakers, and there's continuing education that always go on there. So we've been making a lot of progress there.
Yeah. This is not good, by the way. Yeah. You're a new coaching staff, and you've got rookies, and you're trying to get everybody. He's saying it the nicest way he can. In real life, he's pooping in his pants because he's thinking, you know, he's saying, hey, you know, these rookies, I want to get them up to speed, terminology, we're having these conferences. The best way to do that is have those kids get on that field and every day work with them. That's how they're going to learn. That's the best way to learn for a lot of them, because they could see the guy in front of them making mistakes, or they can see the guy doing it the right way, or they can see a veteran doing it the right way. You know, all these teams are up against it. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, this is tough on coaches, because this is where they do the most good. Because everything you put in right now, you don't have to like teach again at training camp. You know. Yeah. You make the mistakes and correct now, because when you get to camp, it's about trying to make the team. This is a big, big, big struggle for a lot of teams.
No, you're right, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's an opportunity for it to go wrong, or it's an opportunity for you to get an edge.
Setback, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Earlier when he said, well, you know, I'm not too worried about installing the philosophy, and we'll get into that kind of stuff. I'm not worried specifically about anything, but here's the deal. You're having to learn something new as coaches. You've never taught like this.
Right.
So when you reach something that you've never learned, do you obsess every day about learning it and catching up so you can teach it? Do you shrug your shoulders and assume there's nothing else to learn? Or do you actively get lazy? There's like three or four different reactions you could have.
Yeah.
You know, and we need the coaching staff to be like, okay, there's stuff we don't know. Let's learn it all. And now we're excited about learning it all. But I think the most common response is going to be, oh, well, I guess we can't do anything. We're not going to invent a new way to coach. We'll just wait until we have the opportunity. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
Nobody can really coach here.
Right.
I'll tell you what Belichick's doing. He's obsessing. He's probably talking with university professors. He's talking with your online universities. How do I get the message home to students when we're just across the internet? Those are the teams that are going to have the edge.
There's no
I haven't
question.
Heard anything from Mike McCarthy yet to suggest they're into that.
This is, to me, and a lot of it, like I said, is it's the hands-on every day. It's the it's the missed block, and you're able to coach that on the field, and then you go back into the room and you watch it on tape. And then tomorrow you come back and the block's made and you're like, see, you get it now. There you go. That's where that part of this game is not overrated. People are going, oh, the OTAs and the minicamp. It matters for staffs that haven't coached together. It matters for teams that have new staffs, because the players, even the veteran players, are trying to learn coaching styles. You know, these offensive linemen know how Mark Colombo is going to coach. They don't know how Joe Philbin's going to coach. They're thinking it might be Paul Alexander all over again. You know, they're like, oh, God, I hope it's not that way. You know?
If I'm Jerry Jones, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I totally agree with you, Brian. I'm making my message coming from the coaching staff. Boy, this pandemic has really put us behind the eight ball. We better be working hard,
right?
Or year one of this coaching staff is going to be washed out.
No question.
And by that point, half the fan base already thinks we're terrible at our jobs.
Right.
We're one bad season away from getting fired. We can't leave anything to chance. We have to every day be looking for ways to communicate and teach this, because what Brian Broad has said on the radio is true. Without the ability of having the players do it and then giving them feedback and letting them experience it, a major teaching tool is being withheld from us. How can we overcome it? Cut six. Do you feel like you're behind at all? Here's more Coach Mike McCarthy.
No, that's a great question, and I don't want to just say yes, but I mean, because I've never started a program in this climate before, so you really don't have a true comparable. But I think it's obvious to think that if we started on April 6th, like you normally would as a first year program, that we would be in a different spot than we are here today. So I am pleased with the amount of work that we've been able to accomplish. I think our coaches have been very creative. I think the communication and correspondence with the players has been excellent. The questions are very good, intuitive. I think it really leans towards the veteran experience of our football team. So I apologize for that. That's actually the rookie meetings are starting to pop. So I think it points to our experience as a veteran football team that we're able to get this much work done.
Let me answer this question for Mike McCarthy. Yes, guys, this sucks. We're way behind. I'm hopeful we can catch up. I've never taught this way. I'm trying to figure out ways to get it across. I do miss, you know, standing behind Dak Prescott and watching him throw the football, or any one of these quarterbacks, Andy Dalton. I miss that. I miss seeing Amari Cooper running routes. Yes, we're way behind. You know, and so is it going to make it any easier? No. Is anybody going to care? No. Okay, I got to figure this out though. See, that's that. If he'd have said that, I would have been like, man, this guy, all right, we're gonna be just fine here. You know, but he's like,
yeah.
Well, I don't wanna complain, and I don't wanna, you know.
But I did really like his answer, Brian, because he acknowledged what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I would have loved his answer you more. It says, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah,
this sucks. I'm a coach. I'm not a physics teacher teaching over online classes here today. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do like that answer, but you're right. Especially after the Jason Garrett run, just be as gruff and straight shooting as you want. Go full Rob Ryan. Give me an aw hell.
Yeah.
Scratch your butt.
Yeah.
Just something that actually shows you're a real human and not a robot coach.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the final cut here from Mike McCarthy. What are your expectations on Alden Smith?
Oh, I mean, I'm just so happy for where Alden is right now. Personally, I mean, he's such an impressive young man, and you know, in his path to Dallas is special and unique. So, just thankful and blessed to be a part of this opportunity with him. So, he wants to get back and you know, professionally and be part of the football team, be productive. He's in great physical shape. I think it's going to be exciting to see him get out there for the first time. I mean, he's bigger and stronger than he was when we had the chance to compete against him when he was with the 49ers, obviously playing at an elite level. So I think it's going to be exciting to see him get on the field and get back into it. But he's in a great place, and very thankful for him being part of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. Salute to Mike McCarthy and the NFL getting players and coaches out there in these virtual press conferences, media availability. And it definitely means a lot for us here on your home of the Cowboys. Okay. More Twin Peaks opening news to pass along. They will be opening in Mesquite and Addison Monday, June 1st.
Nice.
There you go.
More Eats, Drinks, and Scenic Views right around the corner for you.
Cold beer, too.
Yes, sir.
Great
barbecue, so cold.
Too.
Yeah.
We'll be chopping it up, mixing with the Nosebleed Seats. Woolchuck and Chia follow next on The Fan. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And every night at this time, we find out what's coming up on the Nosebleed Seats. Woolchuck and Chia follow set to broadcast. How the heck you guys doing?
Man, we are doing well. These are some awesome vibes you got here, Lucius. This has definitely made Hump Night start popping off real good here. How are you guys?
Ooh. Dr. Dre and the Pimp Cup.
Hump Night.
Yeah, it's a hump night. Hump day, we take over the night, so it's our hump night extravaganza here, 7 to 11 on The Fan.
And what do you guys have planned for this hump night?
Okay, so right out of the gates at 7 o'clock, we're going to ask the question, what's the biggest what-ifs in DFW sports history? I think there's a lot of Cowboys what-ifs, but I think we could find some others with the Mavericks, the Rangers, the Stars, heck, maybe even FC Dallas as well. They've been close to knocking on the door for a championship.
Oh. Not like
what
a play.
What if they signed Ronaldo?
It can be a play. It can be a moment. Yeah, what if?
What if Messi showed up?
What if they just go ahead and get, you know, some of the greatest players in the world over here in Dallas? But, yeah, just the biggest – the plays, yes, you could go with the Dez play and say,
what if they get that right?
Exactly. What if Jimmy doesn't leave? You know, there's a lot of what ifs you can get into.
Wow.
And how many more championships
what
can DFW have? Right out of the gates at 7 o'clock.
I'll be listening.
Oh, yeah. Y'all humping now.
Yeah, here we are.
I don't mean to steal your content or anything like that, but
yeah.
don't you feel like Aaron Rodgers would have just driven down and put the ball in the end zone?
No. I don't.
I was standing on the sideline, General.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing.
Nope.
I was standing there 10 feet from
where it's too much time.
I saw the ball go in the air. I saw Dez. I saw where Sam Shields was. I said, my God, he's going to catch this ball. He caught it. The ref marks it. I'm thinking, don't score.
Too much time.
Kind of mess around. Take knees.
Eat the clock.
Whatever you have to do. I honestly thought he was going to throw the ball underneath the Beasley on the fourth and two.
Yes, I did too.
And then keep the clock going and try and end this game at the end. You know, just no time on the clock. I'm not going to leave you anything. I thought that's what he was going to do. When that ball was coming at me in the air, I went, holy jeez.
Romo
he's going for the throat. Romo was going for the throat.
Couldn't turn down the glory.
Could not turn down the glory. What a throw. God, dang, what a throw.
Yeah, it was a great throw. It was a great catch.
It was a great catch.
It was.
That official was right. He marked the ball.
The
other official screwed him. That poor guy, he's sitting at home right now. You're right, sir, if you're listening, by the way.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, in the end, you know what I was thinking at the time? I thought that was one of those catches and fumbles out of the end zone where it would have been a touchback Green Bay ball at the 20. At least it wasn't that. The Derek Carr thing goes out the back of the
Jeff Heath play. Yeah.
The worst play in football, no doubt about it. All right. Well, that sounds wonderful, gentlemen. Really looking forward to
it. Yeah, that'd be good.
That topic and many more. We've been having fun throughout the day looking at John Machota's poll results that have been published there in The Athletic. Mm. Thousands of Cowboys fans responding, and we even took phone calls on some of the bigger ones earlier. How about this one? Which player's departure will be the toughest to replace? Your options, Travis Frederick, Byron Jones, Bob Quinn, Randy Cobb, or Jason Witten?
Definitely not Witten.
Eric's the biggest Witten hater. He is the biggest Witten hater I've ever met.
I listen to the show all the time, and that's all you talk about, Witten.
Nice job, Chia Follow.
Yeah. Way to be a pro.
My apologies.
Analysis.
Anytime you can take a shot at poor Witten.
He is not poor, okay? I will say.
He's in Vegas.
Yeah. You seen that house he's selling?
Yeah, we need to have that conversation. We need to have that conversation as well, Walchuk, because we got into a bald conversation last night. Walchuk was saying some pretty ridiculous stuff. We'll have to get y'all's thoughts on it in a second. But in regards to the toughest departure, I'll tell you, trying to find somebody to replace 11 sacks is not going to be an easy task. But I still think one of the hardest positions in all of football is playing corner. And finding a guy who's as locked down as Byron Jones, especially when you're doing it with a couple of rookies and a couple of guys on their last year who haven't really proven themselves as upper echelon players by any means at the cornerback spot. To me, that's going to be the toughest one. Who replaces Byron Jones in the back end?
And I agree. And I heard it was I think Travis Frederick was the answer, correct, that was voted on the most. And
yeah.
Look, Travis Frederick's a loss. There's no doubt about it. But I think they're more well-equipped to handle the loss of Travis Frederick with some of the options that they have, where this, there is so much unknown right now. I mean, you're asking a rookie a lot, a second-rounder in Trayvon Diggs, to come in here and fill the shoes of a guy that was an All-Pro 2 years ago, right? So
yeah.
I know you got a lot of options there at corner as well. They brought in some guys, Daryl Worley. You also drafted Reggie Robinson the second. Maybe Cheeto, Jordan Lewis, Anthony Brown can step up for you. But that's the one guy that I don't think that realistically they've got somebody that can fill those shoes. You've got some solid options at center.
Yeah, the only thing, the only advantage Joe Looney has is he knows how to make calls. The other guys don't know how to make calls, and you do not want the middle of your pocket affected by missed calls or miss the, you know, maybe you make a call or you're not sure about making a call. Young guys have a tendency to keep to themselves. Travis Frederick was amazing. As a young guy, he came in and immediately took ownership of that. You cannot be controlled in the middle of the pocket and have hesitation. You know, if that happens to you, you might as well just, you know, that's the one thing that could affect Dak Prescott. He can handle all the stuff coming from the outside. It's when the stuff comes right up the middle at him.
No doubt.
So I think the center, if they're not confident that they can make calls, that's the problem I think they're going to have.
Well, I also think it's gonna be Tyler Badass that ends up starting. Now, we'll see if maybe the coronavirus pandemic affects that with the rookies. Maybe they're not as able to get up to speed quickly.
That's a fair point.
But you've mentioned the sponsors, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But when your head coach says, I want this guy, and let's climb back into the fourth round to go get him, and 2 years ago he might have graded out as the best center in the draft before he got hurt, to me, if it's close, they're going to rock with the rookie there.
I want a confident football player playing center. That's all I need right there.
There's a lot of stuff. It's difficult to evaluate that job, isn't it, Brian? I mean, just listening to you talk right there, there's a lot of stuff about center that's sort of the devil's in the details, or the genius of that is in all these little things that have to come together, and they don't show up on film.
Ask Travis easily. Frederick how he had to keep his left eye over on Connor Williams his whole rookie year.
Oh, no.
All of a sudden, it's like, okay, I've got to worry about my guy and your guy?
Right.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Hey, Brian, I got a question for you on Travis Frederick. When he was hurt, when he was, you know, out because of his illness.
Right.
He was there in the locker room all the time.
He was.
Helping out.
He was.
Especially with Joe Looney and the offensive line.
Joe Looney's a smart guy.
Do you think Travis may be around at all during the season?
Oh, no.
He's done.
No, shaved the beard, moved to Wisconsin.
He shaved the beard?
Oh, yeah.
He's getting skinny, too.
Yeah, he's going down. Yeah.
I don't know if he's a soda guy or whatever, but
it should be. It helps.
He's on that Joe Thomas plan where the next time you see him, you're going to be like, oh, no way, it is you.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought it, you know, was your little brother or something like that.
He can see his toes.
That's when you know that's when you know a football player's done.
Right.
Is when it's an offensive lineman who's lost about 60 pounds.
Yep. Those offensive linemen are smart. They know.
Yeah.
They're
they
like
know.
Thinking, you know, hey, I've got all my money put away. I got a nice little farm up there. You know, I'm going to cut me down some Christmas trees every year. You know, I'll be fine. So, yeah, those centers and tackles, they know what they're doing. Doug Free, all those guys. Had the first dime they ever made.
So you guys were hot taking about baldness last night? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, well, I saw a tweet about that.
Yeah, Eric thinks that Jordan made, you know, being bald cool, which, I mean,
I
you know.
I was bald before he Jordan did. Was.
So we had a conversation
See?
Of
there
the coolest bald people. Now, I made the statement of, I think there are some people that just rock the bald look, and they'll shave their heads and just go bald, but it doesn't mean they can't grow hair.
Right.
They just prefer the look.
Or you look like a clown.
And
like
Eric's
me.
And Eric just didn't he didn't warrant that. He said that was just ridiculous.
Well, Kobe came into the league like that. He did. He shaved his head. Kobe shaved his head.
See, because
and
for
then
me,
he grew his hair out.
There wasn't any criteria on this. If you don't have hair, you qualify as bald for me. And if you look good, you look good. I don't care if you can't grow it or you can grow it.
I was just making the point that guys like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Bruce Willis, Jason Statham, they're not walking around with cue ball heads because they just decided to. Their hair left their face, and they had no choice, okay? They didn't decide to do a Brian Urlacher or a Deion Sanders, and that's fine. But most of these people that are bald in their 40s and 50s are not people that are just deciding to go, you know, let's just go razor the hair off the head when I'm 45 and I got a great head of hair.
Well, you
if
just
you're bald at
45... that grew hair back, and they should go back to being bald because they look better as bald. But they can still grow hair.
I have a question. Chiafalo, how much money would it cost to shave your head?
Ooh, this is good.
All that long hair.
How much money would it take to shave your head? Got the best hair I've ever seen in a human being.
He's got Aquaman hair.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't think there's a number for you, Eric. I mean, am I wrong? I don't think you'd ever shave it.
Well, it's like, man, you cut Samson's hair off, and then what happens, right? Not good stuff happens after that. Like, I think the number's pretty high. I'll tell you what, Broadus might be somebody. Like, Broadus might not be out of my league on this thing. Like, Walchuk, I'm far too expensive for you. Will Blair on Twitter, who brought this up, far too expensive for you. Broadus, you might be able to bring the heat on it. We might have to have some negotiations. I need to chat it up with the wife, because I don't even think, like, my wife didn't marry me. She sort of married my hair.
Yeah.
But at this point, she's locked in. So maybe we can come up with something. We do a fan event and we just blow the whole thing out. But for man, charity. That's I'm gonna hate to say goodbye. That's for sure.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
All right. It'll grow back.
Here they come. The nosebleed seats. Wolchuk and Chiafalo, 7-11 for CA. Thanks for the last couple of days, buddy.
Oh,
we'll
sure.
see you soon.
Anytime.
We'll see you real soon.
Anytime.
For Brian Broadus and Lucius Alexander, I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2 o'clock, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Salute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.